welcome to All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com.
Hello, lovely people. It is Wednesday, almost said Thursday, but we are a day before Thursday Night Football in Minnesota. It is Wednesday, December 8th. Donnie, we are getting way, way too close to the end of the season. To the end of the year. I feel like 2021 went by just like a little too fast. Do you feel that? Do you feel like it just 2020 was slow but fast? 2021 felt like it didn't even exist.
No, absolutely. It's funny because my wife the other day was like, "Hey, we're closer to the age of 30 than the age of 20." Ruined my entire week, bro.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that. Yeah. My girlfriend is 2 years younger than me, and she reminds me of that every single day. She's like, "Dude, you're gonna be 26 in the month." I'm like, "Why would you tell me that? Like, why would you? At this point, all I'm waiting to do is die. This is not fun for me or anybody else involved, you included. It's not a fun time. What will be a fun time, hopefully, is Thursday Night Football in Minnesota against the Minnesota Vikings, who you can't get much worse than tying the Detroit Lions unless you lose to them, which they did in Week 13 this past Sunday. Lost a lot of people, including myself, money, but that's okay. We move on past that. Before we get into the game, the Steelers made a surprising practice squad move, and I know that we shouldn't really be talking about the practice squad. Nobody really cares, but this time it's kind of relevant. They brought in a punter and a long snapper. Punter out of Ohio State, Drew Chrisman, and long snapper with a phenomenal name, Rex Sunahara. Yeah, cool name, right? Real cool name out of West Virginia. A little Pat McAfee blood here. Not that I'm worried about Christian Kuntz, but more Presley Harvin, who has been inconsistent this season. Kind of a letdown after releasing Jordan Berry, beating him out in the summer in training camp. Do you take anything away from this? Is there something to worry about if you are Presley Harvin?
I don't think worry is the right word. I think this was done to kind of try to get Presley going a little bit, right? You know, they didn't sign any punter to the active roster. They didn't bring in any big name, but I think it's probably a little chess move to be like, "Hey, bud, you should probably start kicking a little bit better," you know?
Yeah.
And granted, like, Presley was like a late round pick this year. He's a rookie. You know, all of that can be factored into it, but like, we're getting ready to be in the middle of December. You've had plenty of opportunity. And I feel like for punters, there's not like a whole lot of like, "Oh man, like this guy's potential is through the roof." You know, like he can get so much better at downing a ball between the 20s. And so it's kind of like a either you do it or you don't kind of job, right? Like there's not really a whole lot of like tape you can put out that could suggest room for growth. And it's kind of crazy we're even analyzing a practice squad punter. But I mean, the Steelers, they're trying to make a push for a playoff run. They need all cylinders clicking, you know, as fast and as well as they can. And that involves special teams. And whenever you have a rookie punter who's not exactly doing his job, I don't feel like you're going to find a lot of really solid guys out in the market. So I just think the guy added to the practice squad, I already forgot his name. I don't think he'll be a major player or a factor or anything like that. But
Chrisman. Too close to Christmas for this signing. Right.
So nothing major, but I do think it's kind of just a little warning at Presley saying, "Hey, bud, just probably get your stuff together."
Yeah, I agree. I think that this is just kind of like a little kick, like, "Hey, man, come on. We like your potential. We like what you've done. You've shown flashes." I mean, he had maybe the best punt of the whole season against the Baltimore Ravens, ultimately wasted totally on a 99-yard drive that ended in a touchdown by Lamar Jackson and company. But he's shown flashes. On the other end of that, like you said, there are times where this dude, the Baltimore game is a prime example. You're on your own, like, 49, just about the 50. Presley Harvin kicks a 20-yard punt. They're basically starting from the 30-yard line. That makes no sense. It doesn't look good in Mike Tomlin's eyes. It doesn't look good in Danny Smith's eyes. To the fans, it's like, what is going on here? So I definitely understand the Presley Harvin kind of needs a little extra motivation. You know, he played well in the summer. Jordan Berry is right there on his tail, so maybe that's, you know, a little something. I don't know what I'm allowed to report, what I'm not allowed to report, but I'm going to do it anyways. I watched this tryout a little bit, just a little bit of it as I was walking in and out from the media room, and this kid looks pretty good. I don't know what you could tell from just a dude booting bombs, but he's booting bombs, and that's you know, for a punter, that's pretty good. That's what you're looking to hear. So we'll see more next week. I feel like I'll get a better evaluation of him. Not that I'll be able to report anything on it, but I feel like I'll be able to get more eyes on the ground and just be like, hey, well, you know, maybe this guy's good. Maybe this guy's not good. I seem to let people know a little bit too much on this show. And sometimes. One day I'll probably get in trouble for it, but I don't really care. I don't really care at all.
We got bigger things to worry about.
We like do have bigger things to worry about, like finding the correct punter. At the meantime, a story that hasn't been talked about one time. The Steelers are playing Jordan Berry. This is the Jordan Berry revenge game. He comes in here. What happens if the Pittsburgh Steelers do not start a drive outside of their own 20 because of Jordan Berry? Yeah. Yeah. People haven't talked about it at all. Like, this is an opportunity for Jordan Berry to be like, look it, guys, you wanted me gone forever. Since the day I stepped foot in the city of Pittsburgh, you, your fan base, your organization, your coaches have tried everything to get rid of me. Time and time again, I prevailed. You finally got rid of me. Oh, looks like you made a mistake. I came back, put on the best season of my entire career. And then into the summer, you drafted somebody. Jordan Berry was real open about it. This is the NFL. Chances are, as a punter, you are going to lose your job eventually. That's just what's going to happen. Well, maybe he's just going to show, well, guys, maybe you gave up on me a little too early because I'm a punter. I last until I'm 40 years old. I'm still young. Minnesota Vikings won.
Dude, it's crazy that sounds. If it does happen, I could just see like Jordan Berry posting like a black and white picture of himself. And it'd be like a Thanos quote or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I am inevitable, or like, you couldn't live with your failures. Where'd that bring you to? Back to what? Me. Just some like cold shit like that. Yeah.
What happens? So, does anybody turn? Because, you know, these are NFL fans. We are all fans of the NFL. And we know that flick of the wrist right there. We can go from one side to the next. Jordan Berry puts on a clinic against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Presley Harvin has an awful game. Is it just time? It's just like, yeah, that's the bottom of the barrel there. You're done. We're moving on to Drew Chrisman. Because, I mean,
If Presley has a bad game, I could definitely see Tomlin having one of his patented open competitions for the spot. I still feel like Presley might win that, but I don't have eyes on the ground like you do at Steelers practice, but...
What about in the eyes of fans? In the eyes of fans, is it over? You lose to Jordan. The only way that you could be worse than Jordan Berry is to lose to Jordan Berry in a punting competition. Like, that's well, it. Hopefully... Like, the Steelers tried forever to get rid of him. The fans tried forever to get rid of him. It finally worked. Now he gets an opportunity to say, nope. I mean, about people turning.
Hopefully, Presley Harvin doesn't get a lot of work on Thursday night because the Steelers are moving the ball up and down the field pretty well. Hopefully Jordan Berry doesn't get a lot of work because the Vikings are stalling drive after drive. But if it came down to a punting contest and Jordan Berry does win that, I think a little Steeler fan might be just a tad salty, right? You know,
just a little bit. Yeah. I feel like Presley Harvin might I've talked to Chris Boswell during his bad year, whenever that was, 2018. Yep. And he told me straight up, like 2019. He told me straight up, dude, I was getting death threats. People were sending me letters. Like, it was bad. Put him in a real bad place. Presley Harvin could be on that train right here. And this is the game that he needs to either step up or make sure that his, you know, maybe he should start driving a different car that doesn't have his autograph on the side of it, because people are going to know and things could get bad real, real fast. We'll move on from the punters. Unfortunately. Yep. We'll move on from the punters. Dalvin Cook is questionable for the game on Thursday. Many thought this was it. He's not playing. He's got a high ankle sprain. Now he's questionable. Does it change anything over the last two games? Their backup has played pretty consistent. And Keith Butler even said himself, he's like, there's no difference between these two running backs. Is there?
There's a little difference. As far as backup running backs go, Alexander Mattison is probably like elite backup running back status, and he's done a damn good job of filling in for Dalvin Cook, you know, if and when Dalvin Cook has been out with their lineup. I still feel like Dalvin Cook's a little bit more explosive. I think his hands are a tad bit better, because whenever Dalvin is healthy, he's one of the best running backs in the league. I mean, it's absolutely wild. Yeah. But I mean, Mattison has been more than great. in terms of filling in for Cooks. I feel like the Vikings running game is probably going to be humming regardless of who's back there. But yeah, you know, I feel like obviously if Dalvin Cook, was healthy and available, things probably wouldn't look great considering the Steelers run defense right now, the two guys in the middle, and, you know, still no Stephon Tuitt, no Alualu. I mean, you said it over and over again. Just the interior of that defense really can't stop the run. It might be one of those Alex Highsmith games again, because I don't feel like the Vikings are going to want to try to run the ball towards the side of TJ Watt. So, you know, probably a lot of, you know, like counter or traps or stuff like that. So Dalvin Cook, obviously all-pro running back, but it really does not change a whole lot of what the Vikings are going to do, because I feel like they've done a really good job of just kind of building this basic offense where Kirk Cousins can run it pretty much however he wants. And, you know, whatever running back is back there, they're going to have really good opportunities, and they've taken advantage of said opportunities time and time again.
Yeah, they have it. And like you said, the offense runs through Kirk Cousins, even if I don't believe that it should. I'm not personally a Kirk Cousins fan. I think he's a little overrated.
I think he's good. I think he's just good. That's
it. I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks in the NFL. Yeah. There's a very, very big difference between a just good quarterback and a quarterback that could win you a Super Bowl. Honestly, if I'm trying to win a Super Bowl, Ben Roethlisberger is my quarterback at 39 years old before Kirk Cousins is. And maybe not everybody agrees with me, but in the heat of the moment, Kirk Cousins has proven time and time again, he ain't going to get it done. Mike Zimmer, same list. Dalvin Cook, I mean, obviously he might be second, third best running back in the NFL when healthy. He hasn't, you know, he has been healthy this season. The fact that he's injured right now, do you think that they take the chance? It's a Thursday night game. This is an early week. He didn't play last week, but they said 2 weeks. Now you're going to condense it to a week and a half. That's for an ankle injury. That could be rough. Do you expect him to play?
Just because they already have Madison back there, he's coming off of a short week, I'd be kind of surprised if he played.
Now, granted, 90 yards. Madison put up 90 yards last week.
I don't know anything. I don't know how he looks in practice. I don't know.
Oh, shoulder injury. Excuse me. It's Adam Thielen with an ankle injury. Dalvin Cook has a shoulder injury.
I don't know how Cook looks in practice. I don't know how comfortable he is. But, I mean, they said 3 weeks was about the timeline whenever he initially got hurt. But I feel like if Thielen was healthy and they were just missing Cook, I feel like absolutely, like they wouldn't try to rush him back. But with Thielen being out and then needing kind of like another like top tier receiving option to go along with Justin Jefferson, they might, but like I don't expect him to play. Like I would probably be a little bit shocked if they tried to rush him back on a game that's being played on a short week with a very, very capable and proven backup running back that can get the job done for him.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. And just to add to this, Dalvin Cook was limited in the two practices this week or the three practices this week. The Steelers, I don't know what the Vikings did, but the Steelers did not practice Monday. They just put out like an estimate. They did not practice Wednesday. They just put out an estimate. And then Tuesday was just a walkthrough. Dalvin Cook was limited all 3 days. I don't know if that was just the same thing, just a Tuesday walkthrough, but that's not a good sign. I mean, if you can't even go through a walkthrough at full participation, how can you be a guy that's going to be out there and play a football game? You know, especially at the running back position. This is not TJ Watt. You know what I mean? This is Dalvin Cook, who has injury history. TJ Watt is he's an alien. This dude's not even existent. Yeah. And can do those things. I don't think Dalvin Cook follows that same thing. I kind of agree. I think that Dalvin Cook's a guy that, you know, hypes it up a little bit like, oh, maybe he's playing, maybe he's going to play, and then he's not going to play. So anybody thinking about putting him in some parlays, take him off. We'll jump into the rest in a conventional kind of way. I want to know your keys to victory here. Pittsburgh Steelers, Minnesota Vikings, Week 14, there's a lot on this game, both sides. Mm-hmm. We'll start with offense. What's your offensive key to this game for the Steelers to come away with a victory?
So I feel like somebody else other than Deontay needs to step up in the receivers room. I have no doubt that Najee's going to get his fair share of touches. I have no doubt in my mind that Deontay is going to get his, you know, more than fair share of targets. But in order for the Steelers offense to kind of be balanced in a really good way, at least passing the ball, somebody else has to step up. Like, I understand Juju was hurt, and, you know, Deontay is kind of the 2B to his 2A, and now Deontay is the number one receiver on the team. I'm looking at guys like Claypool, McLeod, Washington, any of those guys. Somebody needs to start making plays, because the more attention that goes towards Deontay Johnson, the worse it gets for Deontay. And then if those guys are still like stale in terms of their playmaking week after week, it just gets harder for Ben to find open targets so he's progressing through his reads. And that just kind of like wrinkles into everything else the offense does. So I fully expect the Steelers to, you know, utilize Najee a whole lot on the offensive side of the ball. I expect Deontay to get at least like 8 to 10 targets in this game. But man, like, now would be a really good time for Chase Claypool to shut everybody up, including the two of us, go out, ball out, or even a guy like Ray Ray or a guy like James Washington to step up and do something whenever the opportunity is presented itself on primetime when the whole country is watching.
I like that. Ben Roethlisberger needs to have a game. I agree with that one. Deontay Johnson. I talked to Deontay Johnson on Tuesday, and I was like, yo, are you — a lot of people keep talking about how inspired they are by your work ethic, Minka Fitzpatrick included, Ben Roethlisberger included. You know, do you consider yourself a leader? He's like, no. He's like, I just work. He's like, I really don't talk at all. And he doesn't. He's a very quiet guy. So I asked him if he's always been like that. He's like, oh yeah, since high school, that whole time. And I was like, were you the kid getting off the bus, not saying anything? Nobody even like remembered you were there. And then boom, you're putting up 3 touchdowns. And, you know, he very quietly was just like, yeah, that was me. Still is me. I love that. But like you said, this is a game. Chase Claypool does need to get involved. James Washington at this point is stale, and people are just – they're starting to blame him. It's gone from this offense doesn't include James Washington to maybe James Washington isn't as good as we thought. We've touched on that before. We've preached on that a little bit here on the show. You're right. This is a game. This is a game. Ray, Chase, especially Chase, I think, need to step up, have a big game. My offensive key to victory, it's Najee Harris. The Pittsburgh Steelers have an opportunity to put a team away that is terrible in the fourth quarter. I think it's been like 3 or 4 years. I saw some crazy stat where the Vikings have given up, like, I couldn't tell you the exact number of points, but a boatload of points on game-winning drives. Like, they just cannot do it. And I don't even think the Steelers want to be in that situation. And the best way, obviously, to do that is to game manage this as well as possible, which would be Najee Harris having a game. And I don't mean 25 touches to get 75 yards. I mean 25 touches to get 120 yards, a good, solid Najee Harris on the ground game, like we saw at the end of Baltimore. Once Najee started going, once Benny Snell started going, once John LeGlue was leading the way down there in the middle, things started clicking, things started moving real, real fluidly. And I think that that's got to be a key to this game, especially because Minnesota loves to get to the quarterback. They don't even blitz a lot. They just work their defenders very well, and they get to the quarterback. That could be an issue for Ben Roethlisberger. You don't want to fall behind. Najee Harris has to keep the lead there. That's what I'm feeling.
So I did manage to find a tweet similar to what you were talking about. Nice. The Minnesota Vikings have seen 8 game-winning or game-tying drives this year in 2021. They are 0-for-8, not one stop. The Bengals drove 4-6 yards to kick a field goal in overtime. The Cardinals went 55 yards to kick a game-winning field goal late in the fourth quarter. The Detroit Lions had a 20-yard drive, scored a touchdown, 2-point conversion to take the lead. Carolina drove 96 on them to score a touchdown to tie. Dallas went 75 to score a touchdown in the last minute of the game. Baltimore drove 75 to kick a field goal in overtime. Green Bay also drove 75 to score a touchdown to tie it. And then most recently, the Lions went 75 to score a walk-off touchdown.
Walk-off touchdown, lost a lot of people, including myself, money. I don't think the Steelers want to be in that situation. The Steelers do not want to be that team that gives them an actual victory when they're 0-8 in game-winning drives this season. So I think that all starts with Najee Harris. The defensive side of the ball. TJ Watt's here. No Joe Hayden again. Akello Witherspoon will start at cornerback. Monty Davis gets another day. You can't even say a whole week of practice. He got one more day of practice back out there starting at nose. What's your key to victory here on defense?
I think more than anything, more important now than ever, you got to stop the run. Like you have to turn Kirk Cousins into a let me see where Justin Jefferson is at machine on Thursday night. I think how you do that is a lot of good backside containment, because those Vikings running backs, whether it's Cook, whether it's Madison, those backside cuts to where, like, let's say they're running to the left and they just change direction, cut back to the right. That's how to get a lot of yards. I mean, they are just phenomenal in finding holes that don't necessarily exist a second ago. And for guys setting the edge, guys trailing on the back end, guys like TJ, guys like Alex Highsmith, it's going to be really important to follow their like path to pursuit and just make sure they tackle those running backs down in a timely manner. I think that this also goes to a guy like Terrell Edmonds, who is, you know, very, very strong near the line of scrimmage, going sideline to sideline, bringing down ball carriers. I think this is the game that could probably play into his skill set. And I think that also might help Minkah Fitzpatrick play a little bit more of that center fielder role, to where, you know, he's not stuck in the slot or one assignment. He's able to kind of let Terrell Edmonds, the rest of the front seven, do their thing up front. That way he can go and make splash plays at the back end to keep the Vikings offense limited whenever they're driving.
I like it. Before I get to mine, I do want to answer Rocco here asking about Anthony McFarland. It's a mystery, man. It's a mystery to us here. It's a mystery to pretty much the whole Pittsburgh Steelers fan base. Nobody really knows what's going on with Anthony McFarland. He was hurt to start the season. Matt Canada has told me that it's just in timely opportunity for Anthony McFarland. He got hurt at the wrong time, right at the beginning of the season. They had packages for him. They had lots of different packages for Anthony McFarland during the summer. Then they started the season. They got into a flow. They don't really want to switch things up midseason. I think at some point they should. I think Anthony McFarland should be involved way more than he is. They have this thing for Benny Snell Jr. I don't know why they have a thing for Benny Snell Jr., but they do. I think at some point we do see more Anthony McFarland. I don't know if that's going to be this season, but I think at least bare minimum next year, that's the year Anthony McFarland gets his spot. I'll tell you this. From what I saw in the summer, he looked way better than he looked last season. I thought he was going to be that guy. I preached it time and time again. He's going to have a breakout season. Wrong. But I don't think that's on me. I think that's time of his injury. Now he's back. We'll see what happens, you know, as the season progresses. You never know. Benny Snell Jr. looked good against Baltimore. If he looks bad for the next four games, maybe at some point Anthony McFarland sneaks his way in there. I have no idea. My defensive key to victory is someone else besides Minkah Fitzpatrick has to turn the ball over. And that's in the secondary. There needs to be an interception that is not from Minkah Fitzpatrick, because I trust Minkah to turn the ball over at this point. But it's not about Minkah turning the ball over. It's about coming up with an interception against one of these wide receivers. I get Adam Thielen is not going to play, but Justin Jefferson is an absolute superstar. He's Kendrick only Osborne getting better.
Pretty damn good too. Huh?
Who?
Kendrick Osborne.
Exactly. And that's what I mean. They have these guys that are electric and can be electric. And the Steelers secondary needs to make a play to say, hey, Kirk Cousins, look it, man. You better be careful, because you throw a bad throw here, I'm going to come up with it. It's not going to be your guy all the time. It's going to be me. And if he has that open, that mindset, if Kirk could go the whole game thinking these guys are not going to pick me off, my wide receivers are way better than these cornerbacks, it could get bad. His confidence is going to go up. He's going to start making better passes. This is not a cocky Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a very smart, calm, cool, collected quarterback, always has been. You get in his head a little bit, you come up with an interception, he's got to think twice about throwing your way. That could be a huge difference maker in this game. And I think that that's something that the Steelers defense needs to come up with. And I would say needs to come up with before the fourth quarter. Otherwise, I mean, Kirk's going to get hot at some point. He always seems to. And like you said, guys like Osborne, Justin Jefferson, studs that you cannot, that you can't leave out there on an island by themselves the whole time without making somebody pay. That's just my thought there.
Absolutely. And I think more than anything, with Thielen being out, they might try to turn Cousins into more of a game manager role. So whenever he does drop back to pass, you need to make sure you capitalize on those opportunities. And, you know, even with Thielen out, I know it's just that Osborne is a pretty damn good receiver. Maybe that leads to, you know, Cousins trying to force feed Jefferson a little bit, trying to force a ball or two that maybe shouldn't be thrown into a certain window. And so, you know, those guys in the secondary, you know, whether it's, you know, Witherspoon or Norwood, whoever it may be, you know, in that area at a certain time, go make a play, go get yourself some money, go make a play, turn the ball over. And, you know, even that turnover, a quarterback isn't usually never wanting to kind of force the ball to a cornerback they just threw a pick to. So maybe that opens things up for Minka in the back end as well. Maybe, you know, they try to go to the opposite side of the field and then Minka might grab himself one too.
That's what I'm saying. You make Kirk Cousins think twice about throwing your way. He's going to make a mistake. Minka Fitzpatrick is the key to coming up with mistakes. We've seen that in the last two games. Donnie, when we get into picks here, you want to go four-leg parlay or you want to go Steelers picks first? What are you feeling here?
We'll go Steelers picks first.
Steelers picks first. Thursday night football in Minnesota, the city of lakes, state of lakes, whatever it is. There's a big lake there. Pittsburgh Steelers are 3-point dogs. Dogs. The Minnesota Vikings just lost. Just lost. Everybody for 3 weeks said you can't be worse than the Pittsburgh Steelers because the Pittsburgh Steelers tied the winless Detroit Lions. Well, the Detroit Lions are no longer winless because the only team that did worse than the Pittsburgh Steelers against them is the Minnesota Vikings, coming off a loss to the Detroit Lions. 3-point dogs, plus 100 odds on SI Sportsbook, 43.5 over under. Who do you got?
I think if the Vikings win this game, they're not going to win it by more than 3 points. I actually do kind of like the Steelers a little bit in this matchup. So I would definitely take the Steelers +3. Then you said the over-under is 43.5?
43.5.
43.5.
The Steelers have gone – nope, they did not. It was 44 last week. They went under. Week before that, they went over. No. Yeah, but that's because Cincinnati put up a billion points.
Yeah, no, I kind of like the under in this game too. You know, coming off a four-day rest week for both teams. Both teams aren't necessarily at their finest on the offensive side of the ball. Both teams have pretty decent defenses. Not a whole lot to say you really like to over here, at least in my eyes. So I like Steelers +3, and I'll take the under.
All righty, Steelers +3, take the under. I'm going to go – I like the Steelers +3, especially a plus 100 odds. That's just asking you. That's saying we have no faith that the Pittsburgh Steelers keep this within 3 points. I think that's crazy. I think if Minnesota – I mean, worst case scenario, the Pittsburgh Steelers could drive down there on a nonsense drive and put up a touchdown with 3 minutes left. You know what I mean? To just keep it within that reasonable range. 43.5 is really tough. That's really tough because – the Pittsburgh offense could score, and they've been scoring. And I do like Minnesota's defense, but you just lost to the Detroit Lions. You just let Jared Goff score a game-winning touchdown against you. That's demoralizing. And the Steelers, you can say whatever you want, bounce back game, big victory, blah blah blah. The Pittsburgh Steelers went in, tied the Detroit Lions, and then the next week got absolutely demolished by the Cincinnati Bengals. So I don't believe in the whole got to bounce back in a short week. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over on this. I think that they could go over. I think Kirk Cousins and Ben Roethlisberger kind of duel it out a little offensive battle. So I like that one. I'll go +3 and then the over on the 43.5. What is your score prediction here?
I'll go like,
Donnie had the Vikings winning and then thought maybe that's a bad idea. Nah. And now he's rethinking things. That's what I believe. We didn't talk about this yet.
21-20 Steelers.
21-20. Yeah. Two games within 1 point. Yep. Dude, so. Fans can't handle that.
Dude,
it's
snowy and dark here in Pittsburgh. Life as a Steelers fan. I mean, they should be absolutely used to it.
They should be, but it doesn't mean it's getting easier. It's 5:55. It's 5:55 at night. It's been dark for 3 hours, Donnie. 3 hours it's been dark for. It hasn't been warm in like 3 weeks.
The last time a Steelers fan was able to sit down and watch this team for 4 quarters and be like, you know what?
I'm just saying, man. Seasonal depression is a real thing. It's put people through this. every week is not good. It's not healthy for anybody. It's so, a man died 3 weeks ago because of a tie to the Lions. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Obviously. 1 point game there. All righty. My final score prediction. I'm going to go Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, I got to get to the 44 here, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. I'm going to go Pittsburgh Steelers 27 to the Minnesota Vikings 24. I don't think the Steelers are capable of putting out a big win anymore. I'm going to remove that. I'm going to stay logical with this one. I do think they win. I think that 27, it might be high, might be a little bit of a high number, but I just think that the fourth quarter, maybe there's some matching touchdowns that just kind of boost, you know, get us in there, slide us into the over there, feel good about it, walk away with some extra cash. I never feel good taking the over, but I always feel way worse taking the under. Way worse. It's hard to sit there and just be like, don't score. Don't score. Yep. It's real easy to just be like, keep going.
On games you bet the under, you just got to look away. Look away.
You can't watch them. If you bet the under on games, which we have an under in our same day four leg parlay that we're about to talk about, you can't watch that game. You can't. You just have to – you have to hope. You check in Yahoo Sports every couple of minutes. You're just like, all righty, we're still there. 10 more points. There's 17 minutes left. I don't know if this is going to happen. You're freaking out. It's not a fun time. But on the other end, sometimes you get too cocky. Sometimes points be flowing and you like overguess it. I did that with the Pitt game in the ACC championship. Pitt had like 48 points or something, and their point over under was 51.5. And I just won like three bets on their over. And I was just like, oh, we're keeping this roll. And there was like 9 minutes left. And then they just sat on the ball. And I was just like, I should have saw that coming. It was a rookie mistake by me. You get cocky. You tell me constantly, don't get cocky. And I all righty, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a rough road for our same day four leg parlay. But me and Donnie, we sat down before the show today and we said that this is it. This is the one we got to come back from, because if we don't, it's time to rethink things. It's time to come up with a different way to win you guys money, because we're getting pretty sick and tired of losing ourselves money. Mm-hmm. Of losing you guys money. I feel awful every weekend. I never liked the text. Donnie texted me. What'd you text me? A week ago? 2 weeks ago? And you were like, thank God. Thank God we didn't do a four-leg parlay this week. Yep. And I was just like, that should not be the attitude.
Trashed.
But that should not be the attitude. We should have this figured out. It's week 14. I get the NFL is an absolute blizzard right now. But we're going to get it figured out. And we're going to get it figured out this week. Ladies and gentlemen, our four-leg same-day parlay. We got the Baltimore Ravens plus 2.5 dogs to the Cleveland Browns. Makes no sense.
Lamar's none not throwing whatsoever. Four. He's not throwing four picks again. I promise.
He's not. He just lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You think he's going to come back here and lose to the Cleveland Browns? Are you kidding me? Against a banged up Baker Mayfield? Not a chance. Not a chance. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 3.5 point favorites over the Bills, which is a plus 100 bet right now. Those are plus 100 odds.
On 3.5.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on fire. The Buffalo Bills, I mean,
they're on ice.
They literally played on ice the other day.
Yeah.
Couldn't stop the run. You knew every single play exactly what was going to happen. 49 times. You rushed the ball 49 times and you can't stop them. I'm sorry, but I have no faith in that team. None. Bucks, 3.5 over the Bills. A big boost to these odds here. Lions and Broncos under 42 points. This one, this is a game you can't watch, because it's every time they score a touchdown, you're going to be freaking out.
Yep.
You're going to be like, there it is. It's over. It's over.
I don't trust either. Each. Yeah, I don't trust either of those teams to hit 21 points. I mean, if both of them do, that's a miracle. It is literally a miracle, you know, rain, sleet, hail, or shine. It would be a miracle for both of those teams to hit 21 each.
I will say that right before we put this together, I made a call to a buddy out in Denver and asked what the weather was. And he was like, oh, it's going to be absolutely beautiful this weekend, actually, 55. And we're still like, yeah, whatever, man. Doesn't even matter. That's how much faith we have in the same day for like parlay. And then the LA Rams. And Arizona Cardinals out there, about right down the road from big old Donnie.
Yep, it's me.
Over 51 and a half on Monday night. That's a little scary, high scoring game. You pointed out something when we were putting this together that may be a little bit worried, but I think we're going to overcome it.
Yeah, you know, you're always cautious whenever two divisional teams meet up with each other again for a second time. But, I mean, the Rams put up points against the Green Bay Packers. They put up points in the first game they played against the Cardinals. I mean, you know, Kyler Murray, second week back. They're still probably you're going to try to be looking to get into the groove of things. Arizona's usually good for 30 points a game. More times than not, they do hit that number. So you got to figure Matthew Stafford, you know, Sean McVay, you're dialing up plays for him. Odell Beckham's getting a little bit more comfortable in that offense now, especially without the absence of Robert Woods. I mean, it's always more fun to root for the over. And if any two teams in the NFL can hit an over 51 and a half, it's going to be the Cardinals playing the Rams.
I agree. I think you were a little nervous about that one when I suggested it, but I think it feels good. It feels like I'd rather bet the over on that one than the under.
Yeah.
There's a couple other things. If this all goes wrong, which it won't, it will not go wrong. I will be the first one to admit that I was wrong, but I won't have to do that because it's going to hit. I'm feeling real good about it. That's plus 1291 odds. You bet $10, you win about $130 on that. That's a good payout for a Sunday into Monday. Little bet, little parlay that you got going on right there. And we're going to get back on the track there. We're going to win that one. Donnie, Thursday Night Football in Minnesota, in the Dome. It's going to be good. It's good to get out on the field. It's good for the Pittsburgh Steelers to keep this winning streak going. It's good for the over to hit for me, the under to hit for you. So that's a little, but you know, competitiveness between the two co-hosts here.
We'll be right either way.
Look, I hope that I'm more right than Donnie's right, because I don't think any Steelers fan should have to go through what we went through last week. It was terrible, but super exciting at the same time. That being said, hopefully everybody gets a little bit of sunlight for the 4 hours that it's out here
and
in the
city. They won't have to worry about a stressful Sunday. Sit back, relax.
Unless the Steelers lose, then it's an awful Sunday. If the Steelers lose on Thursday, your whole weekend's just ruined.
It's going to keep showing highlights of the game over and over again at like halftime and stuff.
Is Kenny Pickett's – is the Heisman this Saturday as well?
Yes, it is. Yep.
This could be a great weekend for the city of Pittsburgh or a really rough weekend for the city of Pittsburgh. We're going to hope for the first one there. Good weekend for the city of Pittsburgh. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube at All Steelers Talk and follow your favorite podcast host on Twitter at Noah Strack, at Donnie Droon. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We will be back on Friday, me and Derek the Kid, to break down a little Minnesota Vikings, Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll see you then.